The interim is kind of like being a bookworm during the school year, never really having time to like dig into all these books you really, really want to read because you're busy with homework. And as a legislator, session totally consumes you. But I kind of kept this little list of ideas or policy or legislation that I really wanted to pursue for the interim. And this is kind of like the summer equivalent where we can just voraciously dig through that like summer reading list. So there's a long list of legislation that my staff and I have been working on that ranges from education policy to fishing to just like little loopholes, sort of like housekeeping bills that fix little problems in state government and aren't glamorous or sexy, but hopefully make small but substantive improvements.
Well, one example I wanted to ask about, maybe this is not just a small bill, but Representative Guerra, Les Guerra out of Anchorage has a bill to change the Department of Environmental Conservation regulations back to require some sort of permitting process and public review process for state agencies to spray herbicides. And I understand you've been working with him on that bill at all?
Yeah. So Les and I have been working, as well as Beth Cotula out of Juneau. There's a lot of concern, in just speaking for Southeast and in Haines and Sitka and, of course, here in Petersburg regarding herbicides. And it's of pretty serious concern to me. I mean, for a lot of reasons, for watershed and fisheries, for personal health. And so we're both drafting a letter that's going to be sent to the Department of Transportation, as well as sort of pursuing this legislative recourse, passing a piece of law.
How do you get something like this moved through when, you know, again, as you well know, you're in the minority party, a significant minority, and how do you move a bill like this through when you have so many rail belt legislators that are sort of, that are controlling things and maybe more in support of less, as they would see it, less regulation?
Relentless coalition building. So I, for instance, my office wrote a piece of legislation last year that sort of public safety oriented, but I mean, it's all about personal relationships, and as long as you treat people with respect and you're constantly reaching out, you can build unlikely coalitions. And I mean, I can think of a couple of MATSU legislators that have had a lot of concern over DOT, and there's various projects in the MATSU that have kind of raised their ire, and so they just have a lot of misgivings, I guess, with the authority that DOT sometimes exercises, similar to the misgivings I have and others in Southeast are having over this herbicides issue. And so if you can find those sort of points of shared concern, you can get a lot of stuff done regardless of party affiliation.
What's another thing that you're working on? You'd mentioned lots of small fixes or changes. Can you, whether it's fishing or other issues, maybe give people an idea of a couple of things you're working on?
Yeah. Well, the beginning of the summer and still right now, I mean, the two biggies that will be seen on the ballot in August of next year are the oil tax referendum.
Right.
Dedicated a lot of personal time towards that and collecting signatures to repeal the oil tax cut. And then also the Pebble Mine initiative, or I forget what the official title is, but it would basically target the Pebble Mine, and that's of concern to me because I think that just kind of sets a precedent in the state regarding resource development decisions. So dedicated some time towards that. And then as far as legislation, I mean, right now we're working with the mariculture industry in Southeast to make just a small modification to the mariculture revolving loan fund that would open up it's kind of underutilized right now and to open that up to more applicants, basically. So that money that's just sitting there can be better used by more parties to grow, especially these rural economies that Southeast is perfectly suited for. So that's one example. We're looking at increasing the loan limit for the commercial fishing revolving loan fund. Right now, if you're getting a vessel, the loan limit is $100,000, and cost of entry to all these fisheries has increased a lot. And so We'd like to see that raised. I mean, especially as you see a lot of power trawlers converting over to freezer trawlers, and I mean, just costs are going up, and I think those loan limits need to reflect that. And you know, we've done our diligence that won't jeopardize the principal. There's plenty of money to. So I mean, those are kind of smaller pieces of legislation that we're looking at. We're doing a lot in public education. It's hard to describe in a sentence, but it would be a sort of a scholarship program that creates a like a fully featured scholarship for graduating high schoolers to enter a teacher prep track at the University of Alaska. And the whole goal is to sort of take, you know, get the valedictorians, the salutatorians coming out of Alaska high schools and really direct them and incentivize the teaching profession and like sort of raise its profile for as a professional destination for, you know, our best and brightest. And the idea is that, I mean, teaching is tremendously important, and investment in having great schools pays dividends for lifetimes. And if we can attract the very best talent coming out of Alaska high schools and get those kids back into schools as teachers, that will be a long-term investment in the state's future. So working with the university and other legislators who care about education to try to see that through. So it runs the gamut.
In terms of funding this coming year, do you see any chance for Petersburg specifically? They'll be looking again for their top project, which has become a combined renovation or a municipal building, police station. Do you see funding potentially coming through for a project like that, public safety / administration building?
I'd have to defer to Beth and Dennis on – or Representative Curtula and Senator Egan on that. It's rough. We ran about a $300 million deficit last year with the state, and with this oil tax cut taking effect this coming year, that budget deficit is going to be in the $1 to $1.2 billion range probably. And the capital budget is going to be thin. So I'm frankly pessimistic, but I'd also like to say realistic about just capital funding across the board. I mean, there will be projects, and communities that can make a case and unite around certain projects will be able to see funding. But it's just there's just not the kind of money that was being thrown around 5 years ago, because the state is running very much in the red.